Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on a call to true masculinity. A call to true masculinity. A word we don't hear very much nowadays, do we? Is there a difference between masculine and feminine? Well, I believe that there are some very sharp differences. Some years ago, a scientist named Freeman Dyson tried Millikan's experiment to measure electric charges of individual electrons. He got the oil drops floating nicely under the microscope, but he grabbed the wrong knob, and he ended up on the floor. God's arrangement of the electrons is always exactly perfect. The electrons know exactly what to do, and in the case of Freeman Dyson's experiment, they knew what to do and they did it. But he grabbed the wrong knob, and the results were inexorable. He ended up on the floor. And I think there's an analogy there. Men and women have been tampering with the wrong knobs. They have been assuming that roles are optional, that the differences between men and women are trivial. We need to get back to the divine design, the only way that things work properly. When you buy a new appliance, you read the book of instructions. Or if you try everything and the thing isn't working the way it should, then when all else fails, you read the instructions. Well, I think all else has failed in this business of sexuality in the last two or three decades. Things are in a real mess. Why? Because nobody has read the manufacturer's instructions. They haven't heeded them. They haven't taken God's estimate of what masculinity is. They haven't sought His word, His principles, and His help. And it's my hope that in these short programs that I may be able to help you to go back to that divine design. And you know, some of you men are very uncomfortable when you listen to a woman, and I understand that. And I don't think you're uncomfortable because you're male chauvinist pigs. I think you're uncomfortable because women are not supposed to be in positions of authority. Now, this is not a church, you know. This is just a radio program. And I trust, I hope, I pray, I believe that I'm not out of order in speaking as I do any more than I'm out of order when I write a book. I write a book which may be read by men. No man has to read it if he doesn't want to, and no man has to listen to my program if he doesn't want to. But it seems to me unfortunate that it has to be a woman to be saying these things because there haven't been enough men saying them. Now, some men are saying them, and I'm thankful for those men. There are a number of men that you listen to on the radio who are on what I would call God's side, the scriptural side. But let me help you to think theologically about this matter of sexuality. Salvation has been redefined in modern thinking to be self-fulfillment. Freedom means not much more than release from responsibility. And sin is merely a problem of adjustment. We need to think theologically. The Bible does talk about salvation, and it means a whole lot more than self-fulfillment. The Bible talks about freedom, and freedom clearly comes through obedience. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Obedience is the prerequisite, and sin is not merely a problem of adjustment. Are all men created equal? Certainly not. The statement would be an absurdity if it were in anything other than a political context. In a political context, it makes sense. We do have to be treated as equals. But we're not all equally tall or equally rich or equally intelligent. We're not all men. We're not all women. The sun, moon, stars, planets, plants, animals, earth, seas, man, woman, they're not equal, are they? They're opposites. They're complementary. They're distinctive. I was speaking some time ago in a large church in Boston on the subject of sexuality and the differences between men and women. And when the meeting was over, a person came charging down the aisle in what was very clearly, according to the body language, a belligerent way. I was very edgy until I discovered whether it was a man or a woman. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can't tell. Well, this person turned out to be a girl, a young girl with arms folded, tight blue jeans, a denim jacket, and a very mannish haircut. And the first thing she said to me was, "You know, I disagree with a lot of the stuff you say." And I said, "Well, fine, you're allowed to disagree with me, but it's not going to help me very much unless you tell me what you disagree with me about." "Well, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I just don't like some of the stuff you say about women," she said. "Oh, well, what do I say about women that you don't like?" Well, she hemmed and hawed around and stumbled around for a while, and then she said, "I don't really like to think of myself as a woman." "Oh, well," I said, "there aren't very many options. How do you like to think of yourself?" "Well, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I just like to think of myself as a person," she said. And my heart went out to that dear girl. I thought, here's a girl who has bought this package that feminism is trying to pawn off on people, that we should forget about being men and women and just be persons. Well, it's too bad that we don't have two different words in English for man, because people who aren't educated may confuse the generic term man with the specific term. But in Greek, in many other languages, there are two different words. What is man? Well, an individual man is God's closest relative. He is spirit and person and intellect and creative powers and moral judgment and self-consciousness. That's what God created when he created Adam. Spirit, person, intelligence, creative power, moral judgment, and self-consciousness. And a lot more, of course. And the Bible says he was in-breathed. God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'll never forget a little boy in a class that I was teaching, and the teacher, I was speaking, and the teacher was asking questions of the children of the things that I'd said, and she said, "What did God do after he created Adam?" And a little boy stood up and said, "He blowed sense into him." I thought, now there's a great translation. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God put that man, Adam, into a perfect garden, a perfect man in a perfect place. And he gave Adam a choice. He told Adam and Eve that there was a tree that they should not touch. They must not touch, otherwise they would die, and death and suffering would enter into the world. Well, they had the choice. God did not program them so that they could not possibly have eaten from the tree of life. They disobeyed. That was their choice, and their relationship with God was destroyed, and they declared their independence. And as a result, evil and suffering and death have come into the world. Man is lost. Man needs redemption. Man is a physical body, but he is not merely a physical body. He's not mere biology, but mind, spirit, and soul. And the body must be controlled by the spirit, and the emotions brought into order by the will. I don't think most of us are aware of how deeply we have been infected by the thinking of the liberals. And if you would like to hear a sample of what humanism is about, check out the Humanist Manifesto. The Humanist Manifesto 1 was drawn up in 1933. Humanist Manifesto 2 was drawn up in 1973. And this is what I find there. Humanists regard the universe as, quote, self-existing and not created, unquote. They believe in the supernatural as, quote, either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of the fulfillment of the human race. The supernatural, meaningless or irrelevant to the question of fulfillment of the human race. And this is what it says. This is a direct quote from the Humanist Manifesto. We begin with humans, not with God. We can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. Moral values derive their source from, get this now, human experience, needing no theological sanction. Moral values derive their source from human experience, needing no theological sanction. Feminism says that men and women are functionally non-interchangeable only on the physiological level. God's view is that we are theologically non-interchangeable. In other words, I believe that there is a very deep reason why God has made men and women differently, much deeper than sexuality, physiology, and biology. Now, the pressures of the world are very heavy. It's much easier for us to get on the bandwagon. On the other hand, instead of doing that, let's go back to the principles of Scripture. Tune in again. I'll be talking some more about a call to masculinity.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.